Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJC Radio. Well, tomorrow is my 70th birthday. In Psalms 90 and 10, we read, "The days that of our years are 80, that would be 60, and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 or 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow if it is soon out of the way and we fly away." So I will reach the promise of God tomorrow and look forward to the additional 10 years and even more in my life. Over the last 70 years, God has kept me in all snares and in life's many, many dangers. He has given me His salvation. Wow, what a blessing. Most importantly, but He's also given me Karen, my wife. What a true blessing. And 4 kids and 7 grandkids. And if that is not enough, He has given us health and the ability to make wealth and all of the things to do that which He wants us to do. And even things that provide enjoyment and pleasure in our lives. For all of this, I am very thankful to God for showering Family Stahl with so much. Amen. Okay, back to being formed together with Christ. Now, last week I ended sharing this thought. The truth is that Jesus Christ in us is all and we are nothing. And being made compatible with Him, which means Jesus Christ brings all of the value, all of the life, all of the light, and all of the truth to our mysterious spiritual union with Him when we are saved. Being formed together with Him means that we must be brought to the place where we are able to live in that very truth. We have to live in His grace. We have to live in Him as our Lord. We have to live by faith, which is a complete reliance and dependency on Him. Now, for first-time listeners, this may be the very first time you have ever heard this truth. And why? Because mainstream churches and denominations certainly do not teach this truth. Oh no, it's all about them. It's all about their programs, their agendas, their doctrines, their oral record, their church history, and not about Jesus Christ being our all and in all. That, my friend, is the only way to be compatible with Christ. It is the only way to live in the truth. So if you want to know how to be conformed into His image, that is it. We have to abide solely in Christ, rest, no worries, or in Kenya, kuma matata, in Him, and live in Him by faith. Or to put it another way, we have to give ourselves completely to Him for His purpose. Wow. Only then can Christ be manifested through us. Only then can we bear His fruit. Oh, His fruit. Well, when I were talking about some godly fruit, I would like to touch on the wrong teaching of Christians having to, you ready, build godly character. Oh no, my friend. Sadly, so often what this is made to mean is that we are supposed to develop better personality traits. It is often taught that God wants to take our natural man and fix it, repair him and form him according to what a good Christian is supposed to be. But no, my friend. The emphasis is almost always upon what we are in our natural man. Laws, principles, and ministries are often, you know, presented as tools on how to make this happen. But the irony is that what we often try to build up in the very thing God wants to tear down. Wow. My friend, God's building program starts by tearing down everything in us that is not built on Him. Let me say that again. God's building program in our life starts by tearing down everything in us that is not built on Him. Wow, every thought, every dream, every plan, every hope, even those things in God must be pulled down and placed in the captivity of Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, a lot of Christians like to get all spiritual here, you know, and say, well, Paul is talking about spiritual warfare, talking about Satan and devils and demons and all that stuff. But oh no, my friend, read the text in context. Paul is not talking about demonic forces being brought into obedience of Christ, but our flesh, our lustful desires. In verse 4, Paul talks about pulling down strongholds, not levels in ranks and files of demons in the heavenly. Oh no. But those thoughts and those schemes in our mind and in our heart that are not according to the will of God for ourselves. Oh, how the hyper-spiritual Christians have hijacked these verses and pushed and twisted it so far out of context for their personal agenda. That's the truth of this verse, is almost non-existent. Wow, and that is a shame. But thank God for the Holy Spirit to bring things into proper perspective. We are not trying to make ourselves a religious representation of what it means to look and act like Jesus. But, you know, it is usually our flesh, or our religious flesh and self occupation, that often wants to be like Jesus. Wow. So that we, you know, that we might feel good about ourselves, or feel right with God, or maybe look good for others. But this, my friend, is a cancer. It's a plague in the church these days. Self-occupation is an obsession with self. Let me say that again. Self-occupation is a obsession with self. Now there are motives. Now, these motives are very, very subtle. Yeah, they are. Many Christians might even say that our faith is in God to help us achieve this. Oh no. But faith in God for what is not of God, and many Christians today operate in such ways, is not faith in God. Rather, it is deception. Real faith out from God is effortless, and it just flows and operates into victory and not defeat. Wow. For those of us now, and I include myself in the past here, who have tried this nonsense and perhaps, you know, tried it for many years, the results has always been despair and defeat. That's right, despair and defeat. Despair and defeat comes because what we believe must work does not work. What we are holding on to, you know, what we are standing on, you know, what we are believing for in this verse or in that verse for ourselves, and not believing in what God has spoke to us. And then when things do not work out, we begin to question God. You know, some would say, maybe, where is God? Worse, because the initial goal of self-improvement, it is self-error. Let me say that again. The initial goal of self-improvement is self-error. We get the opposite, a sense that there certainly must be something terribly wrong with us. Many Christians have bought into the notion that there are only two alternatives regarding our view of ourself as believers: a high view and a low view. Well, obviously, we shoot for the high view, thinking that it is the will of God for our lives, but oh no, my friend. How we see ourselves in God is a big deal. Let me say that again. How we see ourselves in God is a big deal. After all, God would never want us to live in misery over ourselves, would he? And feeling good about ourselves, well, that is just feels good, doesn't it? Well, tune in next week. Tune in next week, and I will give you, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. The rest of the story. God wants to so work in our lives, and he wants to bring us to the point that we see within ourselves, there's no good thing. God wants to so work in our life that he can bring us into a place of openness because he loves us and he wants to use us more than we even want to use ourselves. God is a good God, and the older I get, the more I appreciate that. God bless. Love you guys. Have a great week, and we will talk to you next week. Amen.